We've been looking this week at the book of Matthew, chapter 13. And, of course, Matthew chapter 13 starts off with the various parables about the word. The parable of the sower, the purpose of the parables, it goes on. Then we have the parable of the wheat and the tares. And I'm going to just highlight again a few verses because I want you to see that from verse number 31 onward through pretty much the remainder of the 13th chapter, you see there's a specific message that Jesus is trying to make sure that he conveys to his disciples, but it's also a message that he is conveying to you and I today. Now, we're going to read verses. I'm going to read certain verses between verse 31 and between verse 48. So we're talking about, 18 verses. In those 18 verses, I want you to notice how many times there's a theme here. There's when you see something brought up multiple times, he's clearly trying to make sure that we understand this. So verse number 31, another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, in which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it's grown, it's greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Verse 33, another parable he spoke to them, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened." And then as we move down a little bit further, we see in verse number 44, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Verse number 45, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he's found one pearl of great price, went in, sold all that he had, and bought it." And then verse number 47, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind." So you can see in just those 18 verses, you can see 5 times Jesus introduces the premise of the kingdom of heaven is like this. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus is trying to clearly give us an understanding and a hunger for a deeper knowledge of the kingdom of heaven. Now, the first thing we have to understand is, and we've tried to look at this the last couple of days, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. We're talking about the spiritual realm. Now, in some cases, you can use those two phrases interchangeably. Sometimes, again, this is why you have to read it in context. Here, Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of heaven. There's other places where he speaks about the kingdom of God. And there's other places where the word speaks about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. You have to read it in context to know if you can use them. Sometimes they're interchangeable. Sometimes they're not. But the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are both speaking about that spiritual realm, that other, the reality that we can't see with our natural perception, that we can't understand. We know it by faith and we believe it. And as we've seen in the past, the spiritual kingdom or the spiritual realities are greater than these natural realities, because all these natural realities, they're going to fade away. They're going to pass away. But what's eternal is the spiritual. So which is the greater? The one that's forever. You can't see it right now and you can't perceive it, but it's the greater reality. So all of those promises that are yours in the spiritual realm. When Jesus finished his work, when Jesus came from the spiritual realm. We know that God, the Bible says that God is spirit. God isn't flesh. God is spirit. And that's why Jesus became flesh. Jesus is God who became flesh. So he was part of this natural world. So God, as flesh, paying the price for sin, paying the consequences, dying on the cross, then raising again to defeat sin and death and the hold of sin and death, providing victory for you and I. He then ascends to the throne, ascends to heaven to be seated at the right hand of God in total victory. Now, when all that took place, what he essentially did is opened up the spiritual realm. Everything that you need, every promise that is in this word, every promise that is in this word. Have you ever stood in the word of God and said, "This is a promise, I believe it"? If you say yes, many of you will also say, "Yes, and I saw those things come to pass." Others will say, I did that. I stood on the word of God. I spoke the word of God. I stood on the word of God, but I didn't see it come to pass. Well, the reason is because everything that is already promised in this word of God and everything that you need for your life, you can go through some of the epistles and you will see that the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul you can see that everything that you need for this life is already established for you by Jesus. Well, where is it? I don't see it. No, because you can't see it right away in the natural realm. But you can, and it is reality in the spiritual realm. It's already done in the spiritual realm, where Jesus is seated in victory. His victory is in both realms, but he's seated in the spiritual realm. All of your victories, of which Romans chapter 8 says that we are joint heirs with Jesus in all these victories, every victory, everything that you need is done, already established for you in your spiritual realm. Your healing, your financial need, your family needs, your deliverances, everything you need, he already saw and provided for you, and it's there in the spiritual realm. We bring it from the spiritual realm to the natural realm by our faith and by speaking words of faith and by speaking his word in faith. We bring those realities, those firm realities in the spiritual realm, we bring those firm realities from the spiritual realm here to the natural realm, where they displace the natural realities that are opposed or at odds with the promises, with the word of God. So you can see why Jesus is spending time here in Matthew explaining to us about the kingdom of God. Now the thing is, we can never fully understand while we're in this flesh. I can never fully understand all the things of the spiritual realm. Why is it that Jesus didn't tell us a lot about heaven? We understand there is a heaven. We understand the throne room. The Bible does talk to us about heaven, but you figure, all right, I'm looking at my Bible. I've got a New King James Bible. I'm just going to look and see. In my edition, we're looking at 1,095 pages, okay? So the Bible's 1,090, my Bible's 1,095, depends on how yours laid out. It's going to be somewhere in that general area. 1,095 pages. You consider that out of 1,095 pages, how much is spent in the Word of God telling us about heaven? Not a lot. It refers to heaven, but how much description is there really of heaven at all? Very little description of heaven. Why is that? Same thing for hell. We understand there's a hell. We know there's a hell. But we get a concept of hell. But why is there not a lot of description of hell? There's some, but not a lot. Why? Because these are spiritual things that our natural minds, our minds are finite. Our minds, because we are in this flesh. This flesh that we're in ties us to the natural world. When you became a believer in Jesus Christ, your spirit which had been dead was made alive. And when your spirit was made alive, you were then automatically tied. The spirit of God in you, in your spirit, which is now alive, now ties you directly to the spiritual realm. You can't see it, but your spirit is tied always to the spiritual realm. If you've accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, your spirit's alive, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and that spirit of God himself ties you directly, like a spiritual umbilical cord, you are tied directly to the spiritual realm. This flesh that you're in, this flesh, in the same way the spirit of God ties you to the spiritual realm, this flesh that we live in ties us to this natural realm. As long as I'm in this flesh, in the natural realm, my mind is tied to this flesh, and it's finite. The things in the spiritual realm, they're infinite. The things in this natural realm, very finite. The things of the spiritual realm are eternal. The things of the natural realm, they are temporary. They're temporal. They will pass away. So my natural mind is tied to this natural world. It's finite. It cannot perceive or understand all of the things of the spiritual realm. Now, there's nothing that's hidden from me, because Jesus said nothing is hidden from us. We can continue to gather deeper understanding and the deeper revelations on the things of the spiritual realm, on the things of heaven. However, until we're actually no longer in this flesh, in this body, tied to this world, we'll never, because we have a finite ability to understand things. So that's why Jesus doesn't spend a lot of time talking about heaven and talking about hell. He wants us to understand the concepts and the realities of them, but it's just impossible for our finite minds to fully understand them. But you can see that Jesus also wants us to understand that in that spiritual realm, in the heavenlies, there is a spiritual realm, and the heavens are part of the spiritual realm. And he wants us to see the kingdom of God. He wants us to see that kingdom. So what exactly is the kingdom of God when we talk about it? Well, the kingdom is going to be any place where the king is at, right? So the kingdom of God is, well, God is king over everything. Now, in this earth, there's a lot of rebellion against God. And so there are those who have rejected God. So the kingdom of God dwells, and Jesus says this. Jesus says the kingdom of God is in you. When the Pharisees were asking and looking and trying to find out, well, where is this kingdom of God? You talk about the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? And he says the kingdom of God is in you. He makes it very clear. The kingdom of God is within us. Jesus, because of his salvation, because of his saving work, because of the salvation he provided, the kingdom of God is in us. Because the Holy Spirit himself, Holy Spirit of God, dwells within you. And because the Holy Spirit of God dwells within me, we have that tie to the spiritual realm. And because we're tied to the spiritual realm, that means we have access to all those things that are within the spiritual realm. We have access to everything. That's why you're a joint heir with Jesus in all of his victories. You have access to all the things that are already promised. So the kingdom of God is where God is. God, for in this natural world, the kingdom of God is, as Jesus said, is within men. It's within us. Those of us who've accepted Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is in us because the Spirit of God is in us. And so that ties us directly to the kingdom, that spiritual realm where all those things are. And Jesus here in Matthew 13 wants us to understand the kingdom of God that is in us, understand what it is, and understand what it means for us and what it means for the world around us as well. And we'll look at that more tomorrow. But if you have a chance today, just read through. Read through Matthew chapter 13. You can also read it in Mark and also in Luke. Give some of these exact same parables. As Jesus is explaining the kingdom of God, which is in each one of us.